This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So some rough weather this morning, should be gone by noon. And we talked to Chris Bannon with the National Weather Service earlier and said the way it was shaping up, it could set up, if these two things linked up, on the North Shore or the South Shore. It's looking like North Shore now, as I look at the radar here and watch these things meet up. It's still too early to tell, but I think the North Shore is going to get most of the heavy rain as it stands now, so be aware of that. Maybe 2 to 3 inches in a couple hours is what they told us, but we'll have to watch it and see. We'll keep you aware of everything you need to know here on WWL. It was March 19th, St. Joseph Day. We were playing Che La Luna and eating all kind of things from the St. Joseph's Day altar and passing around lucky beans. But President Trump was busy meeting with oil executives in the Oval Office. A lot of CEOs and people from the American Petroleum Institute talking about the future of oil and energy in America. Eric Smith joins us now, our friend who always takes his time with me and goes slow. Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy. How you doing, Professor?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about what this meeting was all about and is the policy of the White House on board with that of either the API or the CEO oil executive people.
Well, I think it was a productive meeting, and I think that the problem is the president has two goals, and they're mutually exclusive. His first goal is he wants lower prices for gasoline because that keeps him popular with the voting public. The problem with that is that at lower prices, you can't afford to drill for the crude oil that's going to be turned into gasoline and jet fuel. So he's got to sort of make up his mind, you know, which of those is more important.
So where does that leave the oil companies? Because if I'm trying to run a big business,
too.
I don't know what to do.
They're in the middle, too, because essentially they understand what his goals are, but he is, you know, got this sort of belief that drill, baby, drill will solve all his problems, but he doesn't seem to admit to the fact that we've got a financial world that expects to see returns on their investments, and the oil companies are beholden to the finance world for financing. If they don't get it, you see what happened with the shale play a few years ago. They just stopped financing it, and it stopped producing. So it's also an issue because finance tends to be a more international market than even oil and gas is. You can have somebody making a financial decision in London or even Afghanistan, and it'll have an effect on, you know, the potential for drilling wells in East Texas.
So I'm trying to figure out what the future looks like here then.
So's everybody else. I think the good thing to keep in mind is nothing happens as fast as people think. or is it as bad as people think, with the possible exception of things like Great Depressions? And I don't think we're near that yet. So I suspect that what you will see is the biggest effect on Louisiana is that we are very, very much more sensitive to exports than we used to be because of all of the shale oil and gas that we export, as well as the LNG going up. And if you start putting reciprocal tariffs on, the math on tariffs may argue for a short-term benefit, but the uncertainty that's tied to the president's mode of negotiating, which is, you know, ask for the impossible and take half of what's offered, that emotional drain and the uncertainty associated with it lasts a lot longer than the actual financial impact of the decision. So, you know, you might survive the cost of a tariff on steel or aluminum or crude oil, but at the end of the day, you don't invest in a country that does it or causes the upset. So we're going to be very dependent in Louisiana on healthy exports, and healthy exports are a function of a predictable tariff environment, and we don't know what that tariff environment is going to look like.
Energy Secretary Chris Wright saying that ultimately the president's whole economic agenda is to lower prices in the United States and grow job opportunities in the United States, and I get that, but you know, Professor, I don't know if you have a dog or not, but one of the best things you can do, you know, the best money you can spend, go to a parts store, get a piece of vacuum hose, a little small piece of vacuum hose, and tie a couple of toys together, because the dogs love it. It stretches and it gives them something to tug on. And my goal is to get the toy away from Teddy, and Teddy's goal is to get it away from me, and we're pulling in opposite directions, and we can't have what we both want. And it seems like that might be what the energy policy is like here. We'll pick it up when we come back. 821, Eric Smith is our guest. I'm all for drill, baby, drill. I'm all for lower prices, but I don't know if all of that can happen at the same time. And from what I'm hearing, I don't think it can. Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, because, and that brings us back to the stock market and return on investment and international finance. And I'm getting dizzy. Traffic, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm looking at a story here. Trump pressured oil executives to give $1 billion to his campaign in exchange for preferential treatment for the industry, and it would seem that the quid pro quo is paying off. That from the Sierra Club. Well, apparently, it's not paying off. And somebody else texted in, Professor, and said, problem is big oil started switching to green energy, which is not efficient and left drilling and made a mistake. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think the oil companies would say they were pressured into doing it, but I think it's hard to say it's a mistake when the governments of the world are beating on your head. Even one of the things we're going to face here in Louisiana is people want low methane emissions related LNG in Korea and in France and in Europe. And it doesn't really matter what the U.S. wants at that point. If we're the world's biggest export of LNG, if we want to stay in the game, we've got to deliver that low carbon material, and we know how to do it, but we need the financing and we need the government cooperation to keep those projects on board. That's what I'm saying. Louisiana is an export state and it doesn't realize it.
When you said that, the light bulb went off in my head. I think a lot of people look at this as myopic, not just Louisiana against the United States, but the United States against the world, and you can't look at it that way anymore, can you?
Not if you want to sell LNG or light crude oil. So.
And they're got the expansion going on, right? They've decided to expand the LNG plant in Plaquemines. Is that right? Phase two?
That's right. We've got multiple phases of multiple LNG plants, and Louisiana is the nexus for the world for producing LNG. We have a lot of inexpensive natural gas. One of the things people forget, Louisiana is not a big oil-producing state anymore. Louisiana produces minuscule amounts of oil, but they still rely on oil coming out of the Gulf of Mexico and oil coming out of the shale plays in Texas.
So we
have a source, but we don't have a domestic source in Louisiana. Natural gas is a different story. We have plenty of natural gas, and we use our own, but we also bring in gas from Texas and other states.
So if I'm hearing you right, the answer is not drill, baby, drill. It's change with the times and go where the world is headed and monetize it with LNG if we can? Yes,
well,
sir.
That would be my bet. Yeah. I think I understand what the president's trying to do, and I think, you know, that people will have different opinions about how he does it, but I don't think it's necessarily bad. What I think is probably everybody's a little late awakening to is the fact that China's got different plans from the U.S., and they're serious about it. They've been serious about it for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know how they can be late to that table, late to that party, because, Professor, if a dumb guy from the West Bank like me knew that years ago, I don't know. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Have a good week.
Happy to do it. Talk to you later, sir.
Eric Smith, professor at Tulane's Institute of Energy, and as the professor said, people late to the party. You're thinking about China having different goals. My gosh, really?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
When you saw him build those islands in the South Island Sea, South China Sea, you should have known. 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9, North Shore getting pounded now. Should last for a couple of hours. Looks like the South Shore might get some rain, but not the heaviest of it. It's still yet to play out, but the National Weather Service, Chris Bannon, earlier telling us it was likely to play out that way, either North or South Shore, and it would appear to be. The North Shore is getting their turn. Maybe it'll wash some pollen out of the air. Hopefully no street flooding, but be careful and stay tuned to WWL. We'll let you know everything you need to know. So I'm driving home Friday afternoon after having my rear end handed to me on a golf course by our GM, Dan Barron. I'll admit it. I'm a better ball striker, I think, or at least a better driving range player. He's a better golfer. But I was listening to Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak on Sports Talk on Friday afternoon, a very interesting conversation about Brandon Cooks with the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, Steve Geller. How are you?
Doing all right, Tommy. Already got the pup under my desk, worried about this rain coming in.
What kind of dog is it?
He's a Labrador Beagle, very sensitive to weather.
You know what? Send me a picture of him, because I got a new dog, Teddy, and I think he's a Labrador Beagle. I have no idea what he is. He's Tractor Supply Trash that was rescued, just as I am. I'm
right.
Tractor Supply Trash. I'm not knocking him. But send me a picture, because I'd like to know. And I'll give you the tip I gave to Eric Smith, which is go to the auto parts store and get a piece of vacuum tubing. Get about 3 feet. It'll cost you $3. It's stretchy. You tie it to the toys, and man, they love that. They love it. Let's talk about Let's talk about Brandon Cooks. Saints love him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, coming back to New Orleans, a place he was drafted with the 20th overall pick all the way back in 2020. So the 11-year vet, a reunion in black and gold. Had a bit of a down season last year in Dallas, suffering some injuries, but has been a really productive player in this league despite bouncing around to a bunch of teams. From New Orleans, he was traded to the New England Patriots, then going on to the Houston Texans, the LA Rams, then the Houston Texans, the Dallas Cowboys. And what's weird is for all his time in the NFL, this is the first time he got to test free agency out. Every other time he had been traded to another team. So Saints getting some speed added to their wide receiving core. And I know a lot of folks have been a little critical about this move because he's not the biggest wide receiver. And that seems to be one of the glaring needs of this black and gold squad right now. You need that bigger, tough physical kind of target in this offense to pair up with the likes of Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave.
Talk about the conversation you had with the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. What was the man's name? I didn't get it, but it was a great show that you and Jeff had Friday afternoon.
Yeah, it was Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. We also talked to him. He's got a lot of great knowledge from Kellen Moore,
yep,
having his time with Dallas. But Cooks and Kellen Moore's time didn't overlap, so there's not a connection there. But like you mentioned, I just wanted to get an idea, really, how much does Cooks have left in the tank coming to New Orleans? And from what I remember here, he was younger and seemed more of a selfish player. If you recall that game against the L.A. Rams when the Saints blew him out in the regular season, and he was in the post-game locker room telling folks, close mouths, don't get fed. He was upset he wasn't getting targets, and sure enough, in that offseason, he was dealt off to the New England Patriots. But Sham talked to us about how much of a mentor that Brandon Cooks was for that Dallas Cowboys room, including for guys like a CeeDee Lamb. I'm assuming this guy's grown up in maturity over these years, and yeah, really seems to understand his role as an older player. But like I said, definitely still brings that pop as a speedster for this wide receiving group. The fact that they get an experienced guy who's also, you know, willing to help out the young guys, that's going to be instrumental on this team as well. And maybe the Saints and Kellen Moore are more stressing the speed factor than the big physical side of things.
And not just on the football field, right, in terms of being a mentor?
No, absolutely. Throughout his career, he's been a very religious guy. We know his celebration, the Archer, has to deal with some Bible verses, and Cooks all around, just a veteran presence, like I said, adding some speed to this wide receiver group, and will be someone to mentor the young guys on and off the field.
Let me take a break. I want to come back, talk about what your guest had to say about Kellen Moore, not that their times overlapped, Brandon Cooks, and about the way Brandon Cooks was used last year. I think he's got some stuff left in the tank. We'll see. 8:51, 9 till 9, talking to WWL Sports Director Steve Geller about the Saints' acquisition of Brandon Cooks. He has bounced around, but he's earned about $37.5 million in his career, so he's doing okay. Traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Rainy morning on the North Shore, maybe a little bit here on the South Shore eventually. Talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director, about the reacquisition, I guess, of Brandon Cooks. Steve, he was not happy with the way he was used last year. First of all, this voice of the Dallas Cowboys guy spoke glowingly of both Brandon Cooks and Kellen Moore, and that kind of stuck out to me, considering that neither with the franchise anymore, but it seemed like this guy had a genuine like for both of these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned with Kellen Moore, we're continuing to hear just about how what a great offensive mind that Moore is. And he's like, you hate to use the term genius because it's thrown around so much throughout sports, but did mention the fact that obviously we know that Moore has been around football since a kid. His dad's a high school coach, obviously, being around the practices over there and just being a quarterback growing up, going into college, and then the NFL. And his quick ascent, I guess you would say, as to the head coaching ranks due to his age, but The experience is definitely there with Kellen Moore, and expects a, you know, a nice showing from this, from him with this Saints team, but did urge, you know, the Houdat Nation to be patient with this guy, because you do have to look at the pieces around him at the moment.
So what does a receiving core look like now as opposed to last year?
Well, right now we have Chris Olave is your number one guy. Rashid Shaheed, both of them we know got banged up last season and caused a huge downturn from that early success that we had in weeks one and two. I would slot Cooks in as the number three guy then. After that, you have some names like Abub Means, who got injured early on, the rookie last year, will likely get some play this season. Kevin Austin Jr., Cedric Wilson Jr. is a veteran presence. Dante Pettis was re-signed. And then there's also a youngster in Mason Tipton. Like I mentioned, there's no real big physical threat in this wide receiver group right now. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe they do address it in the draft. A few mock drafts have the Saints, if he's available with that ninth overall selection, getting Arizona's Tet McMillan with that pick.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your time as always. Good luck with the puppy.
Yeah, for sure, Tommy. Take care.
You bet. Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. You go back and download the Odyssey app. Well, I don't think you can use the rewind feature, but go to WWL.com as well. Click on Sports Talk. Listen to Jeff and Steve from Friday. Interesting interview with the voice of the Cowboys. We'll talk with Cynthia Lee Sheng when we come back.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.